This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Wertlieb. There is no place to legally purchase marijuana in the state of Vermont, at least not yet. Combatants in the political fight over a tax and regulate system retreated to their legislative corners with a no decision before the end of the last session, so the next round in that fight won't come around until January. But you can legally smoke marijuana in Vermont if you already have it. And that raises some interesting questions about how to do so politely, because even if pot is technically legal here, it is still not everyone's cup of tea. Listeners of a certain age can back me up about that being a marijuana euphemism, at least back in the 1960s. No matter what you call it, though, when questions of etiquette are posed, we turn to an expert for answers, and Lizzie Post, co-president of the Emily Post Institute, has provided them in a new book called Higher Etiquette, A Guide to the World of Cannabis, from Dispensaries to Dinner Parties. And Lizzie Post joins me in our VPR studios now to talk about pot politeness. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
So why write this book for something that you can't even legally purchase yet in the state of Vermont?
Well, it's not legal for purchase here in the state of Vermont, but we are able to grow our own, smoke our own, and give our own. So that already opens up quite a lot of social interaction and behavior around that interaction to then examine and talk about and help people find comfort zones with. But Emily Post certainly doesn't just write for Vermont. We're a worldwide brand. And so having as many states, I believe we're up to 11 now, thanks to Illinois, legalize, it means that you've got millions of people, whether they consume or not, in communities where cannabis might be something that they come across. Whether it's just walking down the street and there's a dispensary, or it's their friend's dinner party that they go to and people step out onto the porch to smoke a joint.
What are some of your biggest concerns, Lizzie, about how some marijuana smokers might overstep the bounds of politeness when it comes to getting high? And, you know, the reverse is true, of course, too. But let's focus first on those who do smoke.
I think that we really want to be aware of our surroundings. Always from an etiquette standpoint, we are looking to put people at ease and make them comfortable in our presence. That doesn't mean completely, you know, being a doormat to what everybody else wishes, but it is reading the room and understanding the situation that you're in. If your friends don't consume, busting out a joint at their backyard barbecue in a mixed age range group is probably not the right thing to do. Asking whether you could, you know, step aside or whether you could bring some is definitely the way to go. So you really want to be reading the situations that you're in and also thinking about ways that your consumption cannot impact others. We have a lot of options when it comes to cannabis.
It's interesting because since pot was legalized in the state of Vermont, you have seen, and this is just anecdotal, I know I've seen it, you probably have too, you know, people out in parks, out in public places smoking, and that's not technically legal.
No, that is not legal. And so we do really want to be respectful of the law and of operating within it. Right now, it's on private property type of thing. And so you do want to be checking with your host. A lot of people will say, oh, well, I'll just bring my vape pen and vape in the bathroom at their house. That won't be a problem. And I tend to think that that does cause disrespect towards your host, you know, whether they know it's going on or not. And I think that I tend to err on the side of, you know, I can take that hit later. I can smoke before or after. You know, I can ask if just smoking in their yard would be appropriate instead, or vaping in their yard would be appropriate instead. So it's definitely an issue of respect.
I'm glad you mentioned about vaping, because what's really cool about this book too is you don't just talk about, you know, social niceties and politeness. You
right.
have a really good primer here for people that may not be aware of the different ways to consume marijuana now. And there is vaping. And when you made that mention about, oh, you know, you can go ahead and vape in someone's bathroom, that's because it doesn't produce the same very smoky, acrid smell that we're
Correct.
Used to with marijuana, right?
Correct. When you're vaping, you aren't combusting, so you aren't creating a burning smell when you use a vape pen. It's really important to realize, though, that it does have an impact. You can definitely see, especially tobacco vape, which is a totally different topic, but it can create a large plume of vape. There can be that cloudiness to
like
that.
Smoke.
It can look like smoke. So you want to be aware of that impression. When it comes to cannabis vape and that whole bathroom situation we just talked about, it's going to dissipate really quickly. It probably is going to be completely unnoticed by the next person that steps into that restroom. And again, the bathroom example is just one that I heard a lot during research. And so I said, oh, but is that really considerate if your host doesn't want you consuming it at all in their home?
I love that you think about that question, because you're right, because it's not just about what can be detected.
Right.
Politeness isn't about that. It's about thinking about others, getting outside yourself. Is
Absolutely.
That right?
Absolutely. And also with self-respect in place as well. I mean, like we said, we don't want you to be a doormat. We don't want you to feel like you can't stand up for things. And you might make decisions to not attend certain parties or not go to certain homes where you can't consume. And that's totally within your right. And the trick is to then just find other ways to socialize with those people so that you all can get along and have a great time, whether you consume cannabis or not.
There are some things that get a little bit trickier. Let's take the example of a parent who knows that their kid is friends with another kid. Mm-hmm. They're going to go over to that kid's house for a play date.
Right.
But that parent also knows the other parent or parents in that house smoke. They may be concerned. They may want to say, you're going to have pot around the house that my kid can find. Are you going to be smoking it? How do you bring that up in a polite, respectful way?
Right. There are a lot of different subject matters that we deal with as a society that some folks are comfortable with, some are not. Guns and gun safety is another one that you hear this on, especially when it comes to play dates. The trick is to ask your questions in a way that isn't going to offend the other person or make them feel like they have to expose certain parts of their lives, because remember that cannabis use can also be strictly medicinal.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes a whole privacy issue then when we're talking about being protected within that medical arena. But I think that it's really important to ask the question of you frame it that you have a boundary and that you'd like to ask if this is something that's a part of this household. So you might say to someone, I have a pretty firm boundary around cannabis, and I wanted to ask you if we could talk about if that's an issue at your house. So we're not assuming that the other person does. We're asking permission to have the conversation, but we're also giving someone some insight as to why we want that conversation. And I think the follow-up is to say, if it doesn't work out that I don't feel comfortable having the boys play at your house, I'd love to have them come to our house, or we could meet up at the park or go do an activity elsewhere together. Again, the idea is to not place judgment on one household versus another for having boundaries or having permissions, but instead to gather information so that as parents, folks can be making decisions that they feel good about.
Let's take the reverse here for a little bit. Do you think there is still a social stigma or a cliche when it comes to pot and pot smokers?
Oh, yeah. Big time. I'm actually really hoping that this book helps to break down that stigma. I mean, I think when you've got a lot of people were not expecting the Emily Post Institute to write about cannabis and cannabis etiquette.
No, I bet they weren't.
Yeah. And so I love breaking that stigma alone just by having us be a part of the conversation in a respectful and considerate way. But I think that it is really important to recognize that stigma is out there and where it comes from. We're talking about 100 years of negative programming that we've been dealt out, whether you're a graduate of the DARE program like I was in the 80s in school, or whether it was my grandmother's day of reefer madness. Mm-hmm. I've had folks who I've had conversations with who they just had no idea that cannabis could be something that helps people focus, helps them function. And when you start looking at all the different uses and all the different people that engage with this plant in different ways, it becomes so broad that you can't pigeonhole it to lazy stoner kids, you know, that kind of thing. And I really love the fact that people are starting to open up to a broader understanding of who engages with this plant and why.
What about a situation, we talked about parents, you know, maybe having a play date situation. What about something where you're going to be dealing with it every day, like roommates? Let's say you college dorm, or you could be young professionals sharing space. One smokes, the other doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
How should that disparity be handled in a mutually respectful manner?
So that's something where somewhere. College dorm, I'm 99% sure you're not allowed to smoke in those no matter what. So I'll move it to the households where, you know, smoking is allowed by the landlord. It's really important that you talk with your roommates and say, this is something I really like to do. I do it on a daily basis. Is it going to impact you? I remember some of my first conversations with roommates who come to live with me are, hey, I do this. This is a part of my daily life. You know, as you're moving into my space, that's something I'm willing to negotiate to a certain point, but not beyond. But if it's a mutual space that you're both agreeing on living in together, then I think you do want to be really respectful and make rules around your household, like joints, bowls, and bongs always go outside. Vape pens just fine inside. It might be that, you know, I mean, all food should be labeled no matter what. Any food that's infused with cannabis should be labeled so that someone doesn't accidentally eat it. But you, let's say that you both consume cannabis, you both are smokers and fans of it. You want to make rules about pinching, about, you know, taking someone's weed when you don't have any.
About
pinching. Yeah, the pinching when you just, you know, you take a little pinch, like, you know what I mean?
You say,
oh, they're not here. I can't ask. I'm just going to pinch. You want to actually make rules about that so that people don't have the last of their buddy's favorite homegrown that they got that's like a special strain that they love taken, or that people don't just feel like someone's going into their room and taking their weed. So you definitely want to broach the subject as roommates of what's off limits, what's not off limits, and what are the expectations for caring for the products that you have in your home.
Lizzie, I'm pretty sure you've already answered this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, and it's a personal question.
Okay.
Feel free to refuse
sure.
if you like. Are you a marijuana consumer yourself?
First of all, amazing, amazing etiquette at giving me so much permission in that to entertain the question.
I've learned from the best, what can I say?
I am a cannabis consumer. I have been for quite a long time. I find that it really benefits my life. I've been really happy with my experiences with it. And so I'm a pretty proud cannabis consumer.
Having said that, did you ever think you would see a day like today, where this is becoming more socially acceptable? Maybe not completely, but more so.
I dreamed of it. I didn't really, I wasn't the cannabis consumer who was following the political changes and the action that was happening towards legalization. So it kind of, all of a sudden, when in 2012, when Colorado went legal, that was when I kind of first understood this is happening and this, they've stayed legal. This could really happen across the board. And then when you start, you know, seeing how it's impacting folks, seeing how it's positively impacting communities, seeing how it's making a great financial impact for states, I think you start to see why it's going to sweep the nation and be federally legalized eventually.
Are you a little disappointed that Vermont has not quite yet taken that step where they can reap tax benefits, money from this?
Not even just a little. I'll go out and say I'm very disappointed. I think that what I noticed big time when I did the research for this book was that states that had legalized retail markets, everyone was more educated about cannabis. Everyone understood more about this plant that people were so passionate about engaging with, whether it was medicinally or adult usage or recreationally. And to me, that is so incredibly important, to understand what it is that you're engaging with, to understand the chemical compounds that you're taking into your body and understanding the effects that they're having on you. That's an educated consumer, and I am behind that 100%. And I do think that having an open retail market, think about CBD in this state. CBD is legal to be sold in stores, and I am so impressed with our population's understanding of CBD and willingness to engage with it, or willingness to say, hey, that's not the thing that's helping my pain, or it's not working for me, because that's there too. But I am really, really excited for us to get a retail market going here. I think it's really going to improve our state in many, many ways. And we're a small state. You know, we have trouble making money. A lot of our big money makers aren't doing as well as they used to be. Let's find ways to support our community, give them more avenues to engage. But I do think it's really important to do that in an equitable way, a way that's accessible to all, making it something that only the wealthiest people in the state can participate in and make more money off of makes no sense to me. But I love the level of education that it brings to the general public.
That education level you're talking about, does that mitigate the concerns by many folks who do not want to see marijuana legalized at all? That, you know, if you legalize this drug, and it is a drug, that is going to be sending a message to young people especially whose brains are still developing or what have you, that this is okay and there's no consequences if they smoke it. Is that a concern?
No, because I think that if you're educating people, you're not telling them that this has no negative side effects on them whatsoever. You're explaining to them it is something that you need to wait until your brain's fully developed for. It is something that can make impacts on your functionality, especially depending on the type of strain and the potency that you're smoking. Or enjoying, I should say, or consuming. Right. But I think it's really important to not keep pigeonholing it in that space of it's a drug and it's going to do bad things to you. I mean, I look at how we support alcohol in this state. I mean, I just recently received a newsletter for a function that said, hey, bring your kids to this pool party, drinks for mom and dad. Nowhere was there a, hey, don't forget, designated drivers encouraged. You know, and we know what drunk driving does to our community. We've seen that. I've lost friends to that, and it's painful. You know that there are negative stories out there about cannabis consumption, people overdoing it, people not getting the right strain, people having negative reactions. Those are real. But if we just simply try to curb the conversation, keep it all quiet and under wraps, it's going to stay in this zone of not, first of all, not being respectful to those who do consume it in a responsible way, and also not being the full truth of what people do engage with. There are a lot of people who are able to focus better, who are able to function better on this. I want those people engaging with cannabis and engaging with the community. I don't want them feeling like they have to sit at home on a couch privately and quietly doing this.
Lizzie Post is co-president of the Emily Post Institute, and her new book is called Higher Etiquette. She will be reading from it and giving a talk about the book Saturday, June 29th at Ceres in Burlington on College Street from 2 to 4 p.m. Lizzie Post, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.